You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And hey, Simo, over in the UK, they've started rolling out their COVID vaccine.
Yeah, did you hear Boris talking about it this morning?
Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
No.
He was being Boris.
What did the British Prime Minister say?
He was being Boris about it. He was like, "It was sort of very good, isn't it? Oh, fantastic."
And he was talking while eating some chocolate brownies by the looks of that.
He sounds like that?
Okay, yeah, he does actually, now you mention it.
Thank you.
So they started rolling out to high-risk patients, which is more or less like the elderly and people with disabilities and that sort of stuff.
Okay.
The first person in the UK to get the vaccine was a 90-year-old woman called Margaret Keenan, closely followed by the first guy to get the injection, which was, well, because we talked yesterday, we thought that it was going to be the Queen, but it turns out it's not.
No, you wouldn't give Queen the first digs, because what if it doesn't go so well?
Well, hopefully they've done testing.
Well, they've done trials, but they're still, regardless, because of the optics, you know how everything's about optics now.
Yeah.
They're not going to go, "Oh, we'll give it to royalty first," because then they'll have a, what do you know, the peasants will revolt.
Maybe the Queen would go, "Let's get, Harry or Will, which one left?" I think Harry.
Harry left, yeah.
Harry, maybe the Queen's like, "Oh, we'll just test it on Harry first before we give it to Will."
You'd have to ship it to LA, though. I think he's in Hollywood these days.
Yeah, good point. Hmm. So it wasn't the Queen. It was the first man to get the COVID vaccine. It was an 81-year-old guy from a place called Warwickshire, named William Shakespeare.
They've nailed that, haven't they?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They've got uber British.
Yeah, the guy that's run the marketing for the COVID-19 immunisation, he's looked down the list of the people that have lined up for first gigs.
John Smith, get stuff, mate. We're not going with you. William Shakespeare,
please.
Yeah, woo, let's go.
Step forward. So,
I mean, I was surprised when I saw a headline that says William Shakespeare receives COVID vaccine. I was like, he's a little bit dead. He probably doesn't need it.
Well, William Shakespeare, he's like the Phantom. You know, in those those comics, you know, in the purple suit.
What?
Because he keeps, you know, no one actually necessarily knows if William Shakespeare was just one dude.
Oh.
Way back when.
Is there some controversial? I didn't know about this.
Because he was so, all right, playwright. Here we go.
Sorry, hang on, Simo's talking about drama. This could take a while.
So because he was such a pivotal playwright, he's kind of like the Don Bradman of theatre, right?
Such an Aussie way of describing it. But it works. So, it makes sense.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is he was kind of like Don Bradman and Smith put together.
Okay.
So he was that good.
Lots of cricket analogies happening.
Yeah, so he was that good at playwriting that people think, geez, could this have been one guy writing all this stuff with a limited amount of time?
Are you trying to say that Steve Smith isn't just one guy and there's multiple cricketers who play the role of Steve Smith?
What I'm saying is that it would take, for this example to work, you'd need more than one cricketer to represent how iconic or how much work Shakespeare got done in a limited amount of time. So it's like playing a 20-20 in cricket and then scoring a 200 as one dude.
Well, I mean, it's unconfirmed about these William Shakespeare rumours, whether the famous playwright was just one guy or multiple guys.
So maybe he keeps evolving.
Perhaps.
So there's other, there's plenty of William Shakespeares back in the day, and they have kids and name their kids William Shakespeare, and eventually they'll write a new play.
This guy's parents, okay, so the last name is Shakespeare.
Yeah.
They're like, well, okay, what name do you want to choose? Do you want to choose Tom or Gary or, let's go with William.
Do you think his mates call him Willie? It's Willie Shakespeare, mate, how you doing?
I mean, that would be very unfortunate, but imagine when this guy's in school and he's like in year three, it's like, all right, now we're going to learn about the famous playwright William Shakespeare, and he's like, topic on me.
Or if he didn't do his homework, looks up from his book and goes, what?
Imagine if there's a relief teacher teaching at school, she's doing the role, okay, Tom here, Sam here, William Shakespeare, miss. I'm like, well, that's a surprise.
So good. There was a band knocking about when I grew up called Shakespeare.
They took the rest of the day off when they came up with that.
Simo and Jordan.
How wild is that news story regarding that fighter jet this morning? Do you hear about that?
No.
So, like, it accidentally out of an airbase in Australia, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
automatically or had some kind of error that set the eject function. They're still investigating.
Okay.
Yeah, and then ejected the two pilots.
What, wait, mid-flight or?
Yeah, well, taking off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I assume the two pilots were okay.
Oh, yeah, they're all fine. They're all good. That's what's being reported anyway.
Mm.
Never can tell with these Navy Air Force types.
And then what about the plane? Did it crash or did it?
Could be a write-off, apparently. Okay. Millions of dollars or something?
Yeah, I mean, fighter jets don't come cheap.
And I found it coincidental that this story has come out on the same day, Jordan.
Okay.
So the Sydney Morning Herald is reporting that former Jetstar workers have been recruited to work on Australia's new multi-billion dollar fleet of warplanes.
What are you trying to insinuate about the wonderful people?
It's just a coincidence.
Who used to or still do currently work for the wonderful airline of Jetstar.
Yeah. But, like, obviously the ones that were out of work, the first to get cut, have been picked up for the warplanes.
Mm-hmm.
One goes down on your Wednesday morning.
Well, I mean, it doesn't so much go down as if
yeah.
never took off.
Well, it had an error, obviously.
I mean, the pilots took off.
Yeah.
They just weren't in the plane.
So there's 25 aviation workers recently made redundant from Jetstar, and the Australia's F-35 Joint Strike Fighter program has picked them straight up.
Okay.
You guys, you know, you were working for Jetstar, not serving orange juice and meals mid-flight, and now we'll get you involved in, instead of serving juice, we'll serve some bombs from the air to the ground.
I hope they said it more formally than that, and they're not actually dropping bombs.
One of the guys that runs the joint was just taking a Jetstar flight because it was cheap. He was like, you know what? I reckon you could do a job for us, son.
I like the cut of your jib. Come and work for us. I'm guessing that they're like mechanics or something like that. They're not the air hostesses that kind of push the trolley down the aisle and serve you food.
You would be correct. So following their training, 21 of the former Jetstar technicians and logisticians or logisticians.
Let's move on.
So it's the expertise of logistics.
Okay.
Which is what, Jordan?
Look, I mean, you gave it a very good go.
Yeah. No, but what's logistics? I'm just checking with you.
Oh, you know, it's like logistical stuff. You know, making sure you've got your hat on and all that's logistics.
Yeah, right. Cool.
No, I don't know. I made that up.
The only reason I know is because my dad does it. It's literally just moving one thing from one place to another.
Okay.
It's like moving something from A to B. Trade.
So when I move, say, for example, food from the plate that it's onto my mouth.
That's right.
Am I a logistics expert?
That's food logistics.
It is going on my resume. I am updating my LinkedIn right now.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
I did want to have a chat about a zoo in Taiwan where an animal has escaped.
Oh, hell.
Now, before you say, oh, hell.
Is it coming to Australia?
No.
Coming to a zoo near you?
No.
Okay.
The animal, well, I mean, if you live in Taiwan, it's coming to a zoo near you because the animal escaped 3 months ago. It's been on the loose for 3 months and has now, just overnight, been captured.
Is this another beefalo update?
No.
Okay.
No. It's got nothing to do with the beef/cow hybrid, which I love talking about so much. That's in America. This is in Taiwan.
I'm just checking if it was a pandemic.
No. No, it's not.
But it's a beefalo epidemic.
Simo, this animal... Look, there's no other way of saying it. It's an anteater.
Oh, cute.
Mm-hmm. Describe an anteater to
me. Wait, how does it escape? It's not that quick.
Yeah, I mean, that was what caught my attention as well. It escaped about 3 months ago and has been now safely recaptured about 2 miles or so from the zoo when hikers actually noticed a strange animal, took some pictures of it, and then the zoo's gone, hang on, that's our anteater.
Wow. Okay, so they have found it now?
Yeah, they have found it. It's safe. It's being treated and all that. It was also had a little baby anteater with it as well. And both
really?
Are safe. Super cute.
Oh, so did it escape the zoo and then, because it was, did it take the baby with it or did it have its baby while it was out and about?
No. It took the baby with it.
Oh, okay, right. Hmm.
It was a responsible mother, but I don't know if escaping a zoo when you're an anteater is responsible. Maybe it is, I don't know.
Yeah, the ant department have been overrun, the ant police department, with murders. Their detectives have been busy.
Yes, I would imagine so. Ants can rest easy now. They don't have to be worried about being eaten by an anteater.
Yeah, there's ants mysteriously disappearing all through Taiwan.
So I can tell you this anteater, if you're interested, it escaped by somehow climbing over an electric fence. That's all officials have said. They've been very quiet about how it escapes.
Wow. Maybe it is genetically modified.
I don't know. I mean, electric fences seem to be things that you can't A, touch, or B, climb over.
Yeah, I've had
anteaters aren't necessarily, don't have, like, they don't strike me as good climbers.
I've had bad experiences with electric fences. Have you come face-to-face with an electric fence before?
I was going to say, have you come face-to-face with an anteater?
No.
No, but I think an electric fence would be very much more scary than coming face-to-face with an anteater. It's like, I'm just going to walk over there.
Because having grown up in the country, electric fences, endless source of fun. Like, whole afternoons lost on the weekend with the electric fence.
Why? What were you doing with electric
because
fence?
If you've got brothers and cousins and stuff.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
If you all hold the fence at the same time, mm-hmm. then the charge is going to come from, like, one direct. Like, it's not going to hit
It's
going to
come
you.
From one direction. Yeah. Harry Styles is going to provide the charge.
It's not going to hit all of you at once. So if you're quick enough, the last person on the electric fence is the one that gets zapped.
Okay.
Or whoever's kind of first in the line. So it's like risky behaviour. Great pastime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the first person to come up with that? Just some scientists going, all right, there's this work experience kid we don't really like. Come over here. Come just on the end of the chain. There you go. And then he was the one that got zapped.
It was just out on the farm. But granted, though, I'm very pleased that it wasn't a high charge. Like, it wasn't a lot of volts.
Yes.
Because otherwise you're getting back to dinner at 6 p.m. with a different hairstyle than you left the house with.
Simo and Jordan.
I'm talking bugs right now.
Okay.
Do you have a favourite?
It's a weird question.
Christmas beetles come around this time of year, right?
What are Christmas beetles?
Oh, gosh, have you never looked at the ground beneath you, Jordan?
Well, I mean, yes, but I can't help but notice the ground beneath me right now is covered in carpet, not beetles.
So, Christmas beetles. Around December time, you get these...
Which is famous for when Christmas is.
You get these beetles that are normally pretty much like a black colour all throughout the year. And for whatever reason, they get a bit purple.
Oh, I think I have seen these, actually.
You're
is that what they are?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, okay. I didn't realise they were called Christmas beetles. I thought they would be like red and green. They are the traditional Christmas colours.
I take it you didn't grow up with a bug enthusiast like I did.
No. We've talked about this on the show before. One of your brothers has got a fascination with the creepy crawlies.
Well, he wanted to be an insect biologist.
Mm-hmm.
So when I grew up, there were Christmas beetles, there were spiders, there were ladybugs, there were any kind of insectoid creature that he could get his hands on in the fridge right next to the butter.
I see.
So growing up was an interesting time.
You see, my brother wanted to become a lawyer, so when we were growing up, he just sued me over everything. He's like, you've taken my Lego. Here's a cease and desist form.
In a strange turn of events, though, your brother wanted to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Became a lawyer. Right?
Technically, he's still in uni, but yeah.
As opposed to mine, who was obsessed with putting bugs in the fridge, is now a health inspector.
Whose job is
to ensure
there's not bugs and creepy crawlies in fridges.
Yeah, so hopefully that's not on his resume.
And I hope my brother doesn't do a complete 180 on his turn.
Start doing crimes.
Because a complete 180 from a lawyer is someone who breaks the law.
Life of crime. So the reason I bring up bugs is because in Australia here, there were some year threes that were enjoying recess and lunch and doing a bit of their school project.
Okay.
Now, kids playing with bugs, that's not news.
I mean, no, I wouldn't say that it was news.
So, South Gippsland, the students discovered some Slaters in the school grounds.
What, Slaters?
Slaters. Oh, come on. You can't tell me you've never seen a Slater.
Simo, you grew up with a bug expert, so don't get all shirty at me for not knowing what bugs... Oh, my God, what is that?
So, a Slater is... Have you seen the ones that can turn into a little ball?
Is that what it... Okay, when you said Slater, I thought the famous Australian ex-cricketer Michael Slater was hanging around year three.
No.
What are you doing, Michael?
So, Slater, they're the ones that kind of have a bit of a dull navy colour, a dull navy black colour, and they can get... Their defence technique...
Yeah.
You know, if they were on Mortal Kombat 2, they would turn into a little ball like they do in real life.
So, they would crawl up into a little ball, and then that looks like quite a hard shell, just judging from the picture.
Yeah.
So, their defense technique is to curl up into a little ball and sort of hope all ends well.
Talking about bugs. So, the South Gippsland students discovered these Slaters, right?
And
at year three, obviously, Scotty's probably eaten a couple.
I mean...
But... What has occurred is it is actually the rarest find in the bug world in quite some time in Australia.
Oh, like is this a new species or something, or just a very rare one? Or so why is it so?
The colour, it is a little bit more bluey, purpley kind of colour. Mm-hmm. The kids found the bugs as part of their science program to discover new species, and now a Melbourne University PhD student is analysing the Year 3's find.
Okay, well, I mean, big shout out to those year threes, and big shout out for Scotty for not accidentally eating
all of them.
One of Australia's rarest bugs.
So
imagine that, we found one. Oh, where is it? Scotty.
So the PhD.
I was hungry, miss.
The PhD student, James Dauch, has identified that a virus could have made it turn purple because he's seen some similar cases in overseas slaters. So well done to those year three students from South Gippsland.
Another virus we have to worry about.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, isn't it fantastic that a PhD student is picking up year three homework?
So do you reckon there's a cutting year three going, oh, here's my maths as well. This has got something to do with bugs. And he just looks at it as like 3 + 7. It's like, well, I mean, I guess I have to, yeah, that's 10. Okay, we'll do that.
University of Melbourne's going to dish out one of those honorary degrees. Scotty's there eating bugs and holding up a certificate.
You'd be spewing if you were one of the uni students. You did the year three homework, you got it back, and you got some of the questions wrong. You're like, jeez, oh, this is embarrassing.
Even worse if Scott's taken a bite out of it.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And hey, Simo, what is your lolly of choice? What's your go-to lolly?
Oh, I used to like a sherbet lemon.
Mm.
What else? Oh, gummy bear. Big fan of a gummy bear. If I'm going to spoil myself upon occasion, gummy bears are the way.
What about those lolly snakes that you see? Are you a fan of them?
I can do a snake.
Okay. Well, maybe as much as you are a fan of them, you're perhaps not as much of a fan of this girl named Kylie, who is, quote, she's addicted to these little kind of lolly jelly snakes, whatever you call them.
Okay, right. As in, I'm not a fan of Kylie, or not as much of a fan of snakes as Kylie?
No, not as much as a fan of snakes.
Why is that?
Clearly. Well, I mean, you say you enjoy a snake from time to time.
Yeah.
She consumes over 64 kilos worth of snakes every 4 months. Which is a lot.
Wait, give us that again.
Consumes 64 kilos worth of these little, like, small jelly snakes that would only weigh, like, a gram or whatever each.
60 kilos?
64 kilos.
Round it down so then I can work it out. So 60 kilograms, and then how many days?
Every 4 months.
Oh, gosh.
So, right. I mean, if you're using your maths trick, it's 15 kilograms a month.
Yeah.
Well, 16, actually, because we just had one more for 4 months.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot. It's unhealthy, it's expensive and all this sort of stuff. So this woman, she went to A Current Affair, that TV show, to try and find help in a bit of a unique way. I think we've got the audio of it here.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Well, we all know a sweet tooth, but Kylie Lowe would put most of them to shame. She's addicted to jelly snakes, a hardcore habit that's slowly killing her. So Kylie decided to get help to try and beat her craving.
Simo, the help she went to see was a hypnotherapist to see if they could hypnotise her into not liking these little lollies anymore.
Wow. I just checked as well. It's not even 64 kilos of snakes. That's just the sugar from the snakes. So it might even be a heavier amount of snakes.
Well, I mean,
there's a lot of sugar because there's
not much other ingredients in those snakes other than sugar.
Nah, isn't there some? There's got to be some vegetable oil in there or something.
I don't know.
I was just trying to help her out.
Look, either way, it is a lot of jelly snakes. She went to get herself hypnotized to see if they could convince her not to be eating these snakes. And Simo,
that's pretty cool.
It worked.
Oh, really?
It actually, well, I mean, she says it worked.
Yeah.
But it actually, she's now not interested. But at the end of the story, it goes for about 10 minutes on A Current Affair. It's a bit boring. But by the end of it, she's not interested in eating jelly. The hypnotist actually hands her a bowl of snakes.
And she freaks out.
It doesn't freak out, but she looks at them as if they're like just kind of the most rotten, disgusting, rotten fruit or something like that that you wouldn't want to go near.
Yeah, well, it's the power of the mind.
So it actually worked, which shocked me because, Simo, we have both been, and I'm going to use in inverted brackets, hypnotized before.
Yeah.
I think as soon as there was one of these stage hypnotists that kind of, you've seen them in shows that kind of make people do silly dances and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's good fun.
And you and I were part of this show as like 10 other people.
Yeah.
And I think if I could recall your first words to me once we walked off. Were like, were you under? Nah. No. Were you? Nah.
Yeah, but it's all about letting loose, you know?
Yeah.
Stage hypnotists are very different to hypnotherapy. They just got both hypno in the word.
I mean, are they? I kind of just assume that they're all the same
thing. No. So, like, your stage hypnotists aren't necessarily doing the hypnotherapy as well.
Okay.
It's called rapid, I think it's called, like, rapid suggestion.
Why do you know so much about this?
I got kind of interested there for a little while in my younger years. It's like when you're younger, you either fall into a couple of things, radio, magic, or or hypnotism.
And you've fallen into all three at one point.
I've had a red hot crack at all three. But I just want to get back to this snakes woman just quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen how she was storing the snakes?
I don't know if that was just for show or whether that was actually
real. There's no way you're doing that just for show.
I mean,
look at that. There's a chest full of snakes.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, there is a full-on style treasure chest, like something out of something Jack Sparrow would have.
Yeah.
And they open it and it's just full of these jelly snakes, which...
It's kind of like a weird Indiana Jones moment, because you know how he hates snakes?
Yeah.
If he opened up that chest, he'd freak out. Ah!
I mean, the first reaction I had to opening up that chest was, it's a bit unhygienic, isn't it? Those chests are normally dusty and covered in cobwebs. Not sure you want to be eating food out of it.
I guess when you've got that much sugar involved, like you say. Then there's the next one. There's a photo of her sleeping in snakes. So in the jelly snakes, she is on a couch and the snakes are overflowing the couch and you can just see her head.
I just realised something. She's got a chest of snakes. She's now been hypnotised to not like these little lolly jelly snakes.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to buy them, they're going cheap off her because she's got no use for them.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.